A man is rich in proportion to the number of things he can afford to let alone. That was Henry David Thoreau, and this is Bowl Full of Soul.
Hey guys,
welcome back. It's April. We made it back to the sunny days. I hope it didn't take too much to get here for you. If it did, I'm all the more grateful that you're giving this a listen. I hope that you've been enjoying the content that I've been putting out weekly, and I hope that you've been telling your friends and family about it. If you do, thank you everyone to who's written in and rated and reviewed the show on Apple Podcasts. Those all really, really mean the world. All right, so this is a deep episode. Lots of info, lots of insight, lots of knowledge. Let's get into it. Here we go. All right, so let's get to the main discussion, the main topic of the week here. So we've been educated to believe through media and prior cultural food myths and diet fads that solutions to nutritional problems, cures for our illnesses, avenues to higher performance, whatever we're looking for, can be found in just a few cookie cutter ways. We've tended to follow the one size fits all approach to nutrition and to medicine, but this is going about it all wrong, in my opinion. And I think we're finding out more and more that it's not just my opinion, it's the truth, it's fact. But the more I dive into this research, following along with other learners and going through various training programs, I learned that each and every one of us has our own best way of feeling good and best way to feel good and best way to heal our own issues. And so each of us individually has our own completely unique digestive makeup, which includes more specifically what I'm going to talk about a little bit today is what's in our blood and what's in our microbiome. So what's the newest way to follow this true way of thought for ourselves in nutrition and healing, you ask? I think that we've got to start with knowing ourselves and what's running through us much better than we do. So that's why I'm excited about and fully behind what's being called food tech. There are some great examples of food tech that I'll go into in a second, but it's probably better for me to define it a little bit before going into those. So food tech is a more general way of describing some of the major cutting edge nutritional products and services available to the public, to the general public, to you and me, in this day and age of pretty elevated and quickly advancing tech developments. And I mean, we can see those all over the place, but it's really starting to happen in the food industry and in nutrition. So yeah, so let's get more specific. Let's talk about some examples here. The first one that's probably most prevalent in my own life is blood testing to determine inflammatory responses to specific foods. I actually went through an MRT/LEAP test, which is what that was called when I was a senior in college. It's just one example of a blood test there. Through my own private nutritionist, Caitlin Beale, who is so incredibly knowledgeable about food inflammatory response and gut biomes and nutritional planning, she gave me some great, great insight. And that test, though, changed my life, man. In just a few weeks, I had a really comprehensive file in my computer with all of the foods I might possibly eat on a regular basis, how my blood is reacting to those foods when I eat them, and then a plan to cut those foods out that are giving me the most inflammation, aka the enemy for human bodies, and slowly working them back in to see if my body really does have permanent intolerances to them. So you take all those foods out that are high levels of inflammation on your file, and then you would slowly implement them back into your daily life, to your daily diet, and see which foods are giving you trouble, and see which foods are okay to start introducing back into your diet. And I'm still following kind of those guidelines as I go on. And it's been a huge help in kind of finding my own way through my nutrition. And so that's just kind of one excellent example there of food tech. So there are actually two other institutions that I've done a little bit of research on, in the past few months, few weeks, as really awesome drivers for human health that employ this type of blood test. So one is Precision Food Works, run by Chris Talley, a guy named Chris Talley. And they actually make complete meals, Precision Food Works does. They make complete meals and maintain the meal plans for their clients. So they write it all up. And their clientele includes the Seattle Seahawks and some other major sports franchises, some other NFL teams. And I think they're growing in numbers like crazy. And the other is called Habit, which actually has a home base in Oakland, in Jack London Square, which I'm stoked to check out when I get back home to California. And theirs is a similar idea to Precision Food Works, but just tailored to the public, just for you and me, for normal Joes. And you can get your blood tested. That's what you start out with there. And then they come up with a nutrition plan for you. And then from there, you get your meals directly from their kitchen if you're around Oakland. I would like love to see these places pop up all over California and the country and the world eventually. I know that's a slow process, especially with Europe kind of being a traditional place of tradition, but I would love to see it all over the world. That kind of example of food technology. And so, yeah, those are some great blood test related food tech companies that have been leading the way so far, I think. And one last example I found recently of a really interesting food tech company is Viome, Viome, which uses biological testing kits, which I think it's blood or tongue swabs, maybe all of the above, and etc. that you send in. They analyze your data from all your bodily fluids, whatever those may be, and then they come up with almost exactly the molecular makeup of your gut biome. And from that, which is insane, they use that data on an app you keep in touch with to plan meals, to set up whatever healing processes you might be dealing with, and you know, monitor illnesses, whatever the case may be for you. You through that app, you can plan out around your gut biome, which is just a completely new and incredible way to go about your adventure, your path on the nutritional side of things. So I'm still learning about that one. Of course, it kind of sounds like that, I'm sure, but it's called gut. It's called what's the company called? It's called Viome. Yeah, Viome. So check those all out. Check all three out, and get back to me and see what I'm interested to see what you guys think. So food tech, folks, it's coming in hot, whether you like it or not. And I hope you're one of those that like it, of course, because I do. So this week's actionable tip is something that I've been trying out for a couple of weeks, and I've actually known about it for a few years, but I haven't really tried it out until now. Sometimes you get bored and you try new things. Anyways, this week's actionable tip is eating with chopsticks. Why, do you ask? To look super cultured and prove to people you're good with your hands? Maybe, actually, but no. That's not the main reason. This, I've learned over the past couple weeks, after trying out kind of different methods to slow down eating my meals, which has been always been a problem for me, I think. Anyways, this is a great way to make yourself slow down while sitting down to eat. So as you might be aware, as a Westerner, if you're a Westerner listening, it takes a long time to even get good at eating with chopsticks if you're not already an expert. But the proof has been in the pudding for me, quite literally. If I tried to eat pudding with chopsticks right now, it would take like way longer. And I would enjoy the bites. I would enjoy the process, I think, more. And so here's what I propose and what I've gone ahead and done. Go buy yourself a pair of really cool, reusable, washable chopsticks or two, however many pairs you want, and send me a picture on Instagram or Twitter or email of your new chopsticks. And yeah, there's some really beautiful ones out there. So go get yourself some chopsticks and start eating with chopsticks, because it slows you down and it makes you appreciate. So Chinese and Japanese and Korean and Vietnamese and all of the Asian cultures that are using chopsticks, they've got it figured out. So try that out. Tell me how it goes. All right, so next up is this week's crazy health nugget of the week and crazy awesome health nugget of the week. And it is one I found on Instagram, actually, from Dr. Mark Hyman. And this is what I found out. Boiling vegetables is a bad, bad thing. And here's why. The nutrients and the fibrous makeup of most vegetables is actually leached out and basically poured down the drain with the rest of the water when you drain out the veggies. So don't boil your vegetables. If you're going to steam your veggies, make sure to keep the timing under 4 minutes to keep them bright and crunchy. Otherwise, you're just going to find the same thing happens. But if you saute or roast your veggies, my personal avenue of choice, be sure not to overcook them. And I think the last way, I hope nobody does this, microwaving. Just, what are you doing? Don't microwave your veggies. Please don't. Microwaves kill pretty much anything that's good and nutritious in all food, so don't do that. But yeah, the whole idea of not boiling veggies is a big bummer for me, actually, because after having spent 2 years in Italy where almost all veggies are boiled and steamed into oblivion, I've found out that, yeah, I've wasted a lot of time eating vegetables here that aren't that nutritious anymore. Anyway, every team meal I've ever had has been 90% vegetables for me, because I'm very plant-based, especially when I'm on the road, on road trips here. And so to learn that bums me out. But I'm glad to know it now, and I'm glad you guys know it now. And hopefully you don't boil your vegetables anymore. Keep them nice and crunchy. You want that fiber. All right, so let's read some of your emails or your messages and questions to me over the past couple of weeks. So the first one here that I've got saved and queued up is from Vien. Hi, James. Warning, my thoughts are all choppy, but anyway, your honesty, especially as a pro athlete, and opening up about your journey in the past and what you've done to progress on yourself, as well as the support you received that you humbly expressed that got you to where you are, was what I found inspiring during your introductory podcast, because I could relate to a majority of the things, and that all that you said is relevant to my journey currently as a first-year grad student. Undergrad student. So you're being helpful personally. And this altruistic approach you have in becoming a behavioral nutritionist, I think, sorry, my memory is sadly awful, is notable to discussion because of the ideas it evokes, not only the significance from what we eat, but about the future, sources, agriculture, promoting this step toward a healthier future. Either I think too much, or you're simply one great ingenious visionary, I think. I don't know if I'm the latter, but thank you. Anyway, Vian keeps going, ha ha ha, wait. You went to Stanford, of course. your cognitive abilities are sky high. I don't know if every Stanford person's cognitive abilities are that great. I think we're just really good at reading books. But either way, also initially I thought Bowl Full of Soul was not as literal as I anticipated, which isn't a bad thing, by the way. But I know I'll stay tuned to you when I'm not studying because of everything you talk about. Because everything you talk about is of vital importance. Thank you, kind sir, for your generosity and time and spreading hope for the future. It's great to be reminded every once in a while, would be nice, that there are people with good intentions and contribute toward the greater good. I apologize for my incomprehensible response to your first podcast. It's just, as a fan, I, among many others, get to explore your mind as you discuss this former passion, I guess. Quite stimulating, if you ask me. I'm just so inarticulate right now. I disagree about that, personally. And anyway, all the best to your future as this motivational, healthy, and humble being, as well as an athlete. Lots of love, a fan. Thank you, Vian. That was awesome. That is why I do this. So thank you for writing in there. That was great. All right. Next one here is from Sarah Shipley. Hey, loving the podcast so far. I had a few questions I was hoping you might find some time to address in your conversations with folks or in your own musings. Number one, living in Italy away from family and friends might make it easier to navigate this particular problem at the moment, but I'm finding it difficult to have a really robust opinion on food and specific food habits while also trying to be normal human, who has friends and family who don't subscribe to the same ideals. I've been that person who packs their own food for family things or passes on going to specific things because it's just easier than having to explain or be the one person not partaking. But I'm wondering if you had any thoughts on the matter. Also, too, I've recently finished reading a book called The Plant Paradox, which I haven't actually read personally, but I've subscribed to many of the theories she keeps going outlined in the book and have cut out lectins. I'm not sure what those are either, from my diet, and seen some really nice changes in my overall health. As someone who's studying nutrition, I'd love to get your take on the plant paradox way of eating. If you had some time to check it out, I'd be interested to hear your opinions. Keep killing it. Thank you, Sarah. So yeah, I haven't actually read the plant paradox, but maybe that's what I'll pick up next here. I'm sure somebody I know has read it besides yourself. So let's tackle question one. So yeah, I think you're right. Living in Italy away from family and friends definitely makes it easier for me to keep living the way I'm living and keep eating the way I'm eating kind of in the way that I don't have to worry about going out a whole lot. I don't have to worry about being social and socially eating as much as I do when I come home, and that is honestly, it's been a big problem. It's been a big challenge for me too. So I hope you kind of find solace in the fact that there are a lot of people out there that feel the same way, especially as we try to challenge and change ourselves in how we eat around people that not necessarily holding the same values as us. So, man, what has helped though? Let's see. I mean, one thing that's helped for sure for me is just being outright and honest with those people and saying, "Hey, I'm wherever you can, just saying I am. Look, I'm trying this new way of eating. I'm trying to cut down on such and such. I'm trying to not eat meat, etc., etc." Just telling them outright is a great way to at least start this conversation and start their understanding, their better understanding of what you're trying to do as someone who's trying to better themselves. And so being outright with another person in that realm is important. And I think the other thing that you mentioned is packing dinners or lunches or snacks or whatever ahead of these functions and just saying, "Hey, I'm going to eat what I brought." And that doesn't mean we still can't have fun and do the same things. It's just a matter of me wanting to do things a little differently. And again, I think that goes back to being outright with the people you're hanging out with. And I think if they're real friends, real family, real supporters, and if they love you, I think they're going to understand no matter what. So that's for sure important. And then the last thing is, I think I've mentioned this and in talking with Taylor a little bit in the past week's podcast, I think just enjoying every once in a while, just enjoying those moments with your family and friends, even if it's not aligning with your new values and changes, I think that's important too. So finding places to still enjoy yourself and let go a little bit is also really important. So yeah, thank you, Sarah, for writing in. I'll definitely check out The Plant Paradox and we'll see what I think about it. All right, so that's it for this segment here. Keep writing in, keep emailing, keep questioning me. I love these. I love, love, love these. So keep writing in. Thank you. All right, last but not least, let's get to our bowlful of the week here. And I'm not going to actually read you this whole recipe and prep, but I'll just let you know what it is and why I eat it. So this week it is a chai spice porridge. And I learned about porridge actually on my trip to Copenhagen, Denmark for a weekend with my buddy Stephen Marr from last season in Padova. And we went to this place called Grode, and their specialty is porridge. And I learned all about porridge and the absolute joy that I found in cooking porridge afterwards was something I passed along to pretty much everybody I talked to for the next few months. And I got everybody on board, I think. So porridge is a wonderful, wonderful thing, especially in the winter time when it's cold out and you want something warm to cozy up your tummy. And so this porridge is oat based. You can use any milk you want, and it's basically equal parts water, milk, and oats, or whatever grain you're desiring. And then from there you just kind of add in a few different spices or mixtures into the pot, and then you can top it with whatever. But this chai spice porridge is one of the best that I've found, and I've made it quite a bit over the last few months. So yeah, check that recipe out on the show notes. And it's really nutritious. I think it's a great way to start out your morning, especially if you're an athlete looking for a little bit of a carb load before a long day of training. So yeah, and it only takes about 10 minutes to make everything. So it's really just super simple. And I don't think a lot of people think porridge when they think of breakfast. They think of porridge as like a prison food or some food for the poor, because it sounds like poor. But yeah, porridge, I love it. Check it out, try it. Let me know what you think of it after you make it. All right. All right, that's it, ladies and G's. Thank you for writing in. Thank you for subscribing, telling your friends and family about this fun thing that I'm doing. And of course, keep rating and reviewing on iTunes and Apple Podcasts. If you're looking for another way to listen besides these two, I actually found there's a couple of sites that are also hosting the pod, and you can listen on listen.fm as well as a site called Listen Notes, and Podcast Addict is the app for all you Android users out there. Keep writing in, keep asking me questions, and I'll get to all of you and I'll respond to all of you, I promise. So that's a good way to get in touch with me on the podcast side of things. And yeah, that's it. All right, let's talk soon. Wherever you are in this world, leave it better than you found it. Peace.